This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 15th, 2021, Our Lady of Sorrows, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in the life's eye of the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
When we look at the sorrows of our Blessed Mother, they are truly indescribable in words. And that's really kind of hard to believe because I have known several people who have lost children. And there is nothing that tears your heart out more. You have to be a very cold person with a very stony heart not to shed tears when somebody loses a child. It's indescribable what our Blessed Mother endured when she lost her son. It's indescribable because of the love that she had for him. Any mother, any parent has a love for their child. But when we talk about the immaculate nature of our Blessed Mother, everything about her was immaculate. Everything about her was holy. She had an immaculate love. What does immaculate mean? We hear that, it sounds so churchy. What does immaculate mean? It means spotless. It means perfect. It means pure. There is not a person on the face of this planet that has an immaculate love for anyone else. We can really love them, our parents, our spouse, our children, whoever. But at the end of the day, they can turn you off. I've known a whole lot of people who, I love you so much. Yeah, we're not together anymore. What happened? It wasn't an immaculate love. It wasn't a holy love. Our Blessed Mother had an immaculate love for her son. It's kind of easy when your son is God. Why do most parents get attitude in this world? Because their kids aren't God. Far from it. Okay, actually little demons, but that's a different subject for a different day. But we have to, could you imagine having an immaculate love for the God man who lives under your roof? An angel showed up and told you that you are going to give birth to him. This sets the stage for our Blessed Mother's immaculate love for her son. Never has a mother on the face of this planet, no matter how much you love your kids, never has a mother loved with such a holy love. She has a holy love for her son. She asks nothing in return. She doesn't have to. He gives himself. He gives everything. This is what we need to look at when we talk about the sorrows that she endured. This is the prophecy of Simeon, that just man, that old man who looked at the Blessed Mother. Everything's been kind of up here up to this point. An angel came and announced his coming, and you walk into the temple to dedicate him, and the priest, the one that everyone knows is righteous, who everybody hears this rumor that he will not leave until he sees the Holy One, the Messiah of Israel, and he takes your son into his hands and says, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people to be a light to light the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people, Israel." Does it get any better than that? But even for the Blessed Mother, get the rug pulled out from under you, and a sword shall pierce your own soul. Man, that's like apples and oranges, isn't it? This sets the stage for her sorrows. It gives her a heads up in her immaculate nature of what she is going to do. She doesn't understand it yet. She didn't know how things are going to pan out, how they're going to happen, but as she goes through her whole life, and we see the seven sorrows that she endured. I mean, from the time he was an infant, when they had to fly into Egypt for an example, that these sorrows started very early on. People always tried to kill him. People always berating him. People not believing him. This has got to be tough on any mom to see her child denigrated, bullied, the word we'd use in this day and age. But when we look at her immaculate love for him, every time one of these things happened, maybe she considered, is this the sword? Yes and no. Because it really didn't happen until the cross. That is when the righteous old man's words come to the fore. And interesting, the Gospel of John is the only one where it's very interesting. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see the very creation recoiling against the death of the God-man. The skies darken, rocks split in two, dead people rise from the grave, walk around. We see all these things going on. But in the Gospel of John, we read of our Lord talking to his mom. Our Lord talking to his mom on the cross. Can you imagine being St. John the Divine? I mean, he got to lay his head on our Lord's chest at the Last Supper. Whenever the other apostles want to know something, what Jesus was, hey, John, you go ask him. You're the favorite. They knew he was the favorite. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah, Jesus plays favorites. Deal with it. All right, we're not egalitarians. He's not an egalitarian. How glorious was it for John, who knew the Blessed Mother, who had been with our Lord, who is especially close to our Lord? You know, he heard about the glories of Mary. He could tell that she was sinless, the way she acted, you know, all these things like that. It was glorious for John when our Lord looked at him and said, secondarily, because he speaks to his mom first, he says, son, behold thy mother. Glorious for John. Imagine that. I mean, because what Jesus is doing is with the blood that's trickling out of his mouth and the last bits of blood that are dropping onto the ground, he speaks his will and testament. Yeah. That's the last thing he does. Glorious for John. What was it like for Mary? I guess Tara talked about how Mary, she is confronted with having God live under her roof for 33 years. And then all of a sudden, woman, behold thy son. In her heart, she had to be, you're my son. So not only is she getting handed over to somebody, and our Lord's doing the right thing. Okay, we got to appreciate that. He's fulfilling what needs to be fulfilled. But I mean, and the Blessed Mother doesn't complain, and I'm sure she never did. But is that not like a step down? God was your son. God is your son. And now one of his disciples and a kid for all intent and purposes, the youngest of the disciples. I'm sure one of the reasons that Jesus did that because John was with the Blessed Mother until she died. And then he performed his ministry because he lived to be a very old man. But again, the concept of even that, we look at that as, oh, how awesome. Because I mean, we look at it as a benefit for ourselves, right? Because John's standing in the stead of all of us, all of the faithful. Because when he says, son, behold, every one of his adopted children, he's saying the same thing to us. So it doesn't get any better than that for us. But for the Blessed Mother, again, just kind of think about that for a second. A man, God is my son. Not only to matter that, he's given me to him because I'm going to be separated from him. Because she knew he was going to raise from the dead. All right. That was a given. But could you imagine? Maybe she thought, well, when he raises from the dead, he'll take me with him. All right. When he's raised from the dead, he'll stay down here with us all for all eternity because he's God. No. He ascended into heaven and left her with a man, a good man, but nonetheless a man. So even that we see as a great benefit, that was a sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary. want to tie this all up with Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus does all things good. Because everything we believe about the Blessed Mother is because of what we believe and teach about our Lord. Okay, so it's all centered on him. She does nothing but point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you don't feel good, hey, you get the little head cold or the little flu-like symptoms or COVID or whatever it is, you know, you start feeling bad. You start to get kind of cranky with other people. You don't really think straight. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want, you know, you just get cranky. Our Lord demonstrates that he remains in perfect command of the situation as he is breathing his last breaths. He's not praying hard. He's not, he even commands this situation. Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. You know, he continues to demonstrate his control over things, even at that point in his life. This is what we need to appreciate about the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin. He does all things well. There was a reason that she entered. This is one of the reasons that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, is because of her faithfulness, her unbending faithfulness, even in the face of sorrows that we cannot comprehend. You can't even look at her, if you have lost a child, and say, I know how she felt. Well, in a way, you might. You don't feel exactly like she did, because she was immaculate. She had an immaculate love for the God-man who lived under her roof. This is the things that we need to consider when we think about the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin. Jesus does all things well, even when she and we deal with the sorrows in our life. When we appreciate that he does all things well, you know, we glean from this incident that he is in control of absolutely everything, no matter what the situation is, even in his own life. I can have a few breaths left in my lungs, and I'm going to command the situation. This is our Lord. This is the source of our hope. This is where we need to place our foundation. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.